Hello, Fiona Ritchie with you. Welcome to the Thistle and Shamrock, where I'm delighted to say that this week my special guest is award-winning Gaelic singer and broadcaster, Julie Fowlis.
Thank you, Fiscan Magov. Good evening. This is a wee walking song. It's called Miran Saivid, or My Land, It Is Rich.
Miran Saivid, O Ga, Sihua, Hona, Palifa. Miran Saivid, O Ga, Miran Saivid, Palchis, Thoras, Namuk, Thol, Panakin. Miran Saivid, O Ga, Sihua, Hona, Palifa. Miran Saivid, O Ga, Miran Saivid, It Ga, Tuvium, Ochro, Ayedalian. Miran Saivid, O Ga, Sihua, Hona, Palifa. Miran Saivid, O Ga, Hai, Chiens, Hamon, Lidayens, Hoda, thank you.
Catholic.
I'm here with Julie Fowlis, and Julie, it's a great pleasure to see you.
It's lovely to see you. Thanks very much for having the chat.
Trying to think back to a couple of times I've seen in the past performing, some time ago with Dochas. Tell us a little bit about the origins of that lineup and what you were doing musically with Dochas.
Well, with Dochas, we kind of got together back in the crumbs, it must be about 13 years ago now. And the band originally was five girls. And then we eventually recruited our one male member, Martin O'Neill, and a mix of pipes and Gaelic song and fiddle, harp, piano and box. And it was essentially just five friends and then, well, six friends getting together and playing music. And we had a great time. We recorded two albums. A few of us studied together. In fact, everybody has studied together at different times and different places. The core of the band, they got together in the Academy, which is now the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland. Back then it was the Academy, the Royal Academy of Music and Drama. And myself and Martin O'Neill, we studied together at the Applied Music Course in Jordan Hill in Glasgow, the University of Strathclyde. But also myself and two of the other lasses, Caroline and Ailey, we studied together in the Gaelic College in Skye, Scotland's only Gaelic College. So we've all spent a lot of time together studying, playing music and having fun. So that's kind of where the band started.
The energy in Dochas just leapt off the stage and out of the CD player. You appeared that you were having a lot of fun, but you were also really wanted to make the music come alive in that way.
Oh, I think we were all that thing of being young and so driven and passionate about the music and so just overtaken by just the whole sense of being involved in a really vibrant culture. Do you know, having all lived in Glasgow for a while, there was a great session scene there and, you know, party scene, and you'd go out to sessions and to bars and things and there'd be parties afterwards, and you go back to someone's flat and there'd be music till all hours of the morning till breakfast, you know, and sing songs. And so even in the city, you had this kind of sense of me coming from the Highlands and being an islander also, you had some of that come with you down to the big city. And it was really, it was, looking back, it was a really heady, exciting few years. And I look back at that time very with, you know, great fondness. And we've not disbanded or anything, but the danger, of course, of a band with five women is that we're now of childbearing age and there's now been a whole stream of children and it's very, very hard to get together. But it's still on the cards. It's still on the cards for a reunion tour with a lot of babysitters.
Thank you. You mentioned growing up in the islands and you're basically coming from the Highlands, but we've met on the edge of the Highlands, I suppose. It's a different kind of landscape from the one that you knew growing up.
When you look out here in that Highland Perthshire, you're right on the Highland line in many ways. But coming from the island originally, I feel like an islander first and foremost, and a Highlander second perhaps. So, the pull of the sea is always there for me. And it's growing up on an island like North Uist, surrounded by the Gaelic language first and foremost, it would be slightly more unusual to hear that here.
Growing up in North Uist, you were surrounded by the Gaelic language, but also by that culture and the musical culture, and it's very much what you've embraced with your own singing. And you very much wanted to really go back to the source of the music in North Uist, and you approached a lot of source singers and people who really were in touch with the music and from within their own families and through the generations to bring that sense of authenticity to what you do.
The way you describe it there, it sounds like it was a great plan, but of course really at the time when I started, it was just a case of who do I know that would be able to teach me some of the good songs, you know, songs that maybe you'd heard growing up and you knew parts of it, you knew the chorus in the first verse and the last one, but then what about all the ones in the middle and things like that. So it was, for me, it was just go back to our friends and family who knew songs, and it was as simple as that really. And it's only now looking back on it that, you know, that you realise that a lot of traditional singers out there don't have that access to, you know, don't have access to that kind of way of learning songs, that way of, you know, that just awfully honest way of passing on songs from one singer to another and sharing songs within a community, and songs that are very localised, that wouldn't be known even in another community on the same island, let alone on another island or throughout Scotland or in another country. So very, very, very localised material as well.
Ahiri you, oh, rasa you.
난또 그는 새그녀 아히리류여 오라사유르바호 아히리류여 오라사유르바호 아히리류여
I think I probably cottoned on a little bit quicker because we left that island life when I was like 13 years old, moved to the mainland, and so actually not everybody has that actually that's quite different. It's totally unique, and it's very, very important. And so from that age, really, I was very switched on to the fact that there was this vibrant, an ancient culture that was still very much living, and just it was something that I could, that I was part of, that I felt very much part of, and what I wanted to continue being part of, despite having left.
Hova mi, hova mi, hova mi, madie, skete va mi, marha mi, famoa vedeni. Vangu se shit grandan, as a chans eronien. Famische kam groepig, als a hoes erond nier. Hova mi, hova mi, hova mi, madie. Skatte va mi, mar ha mi, famoa vedeni. Hoorstjem batach sage di aselene na huye ko karu te janach velutorach gebthin Hova mi, hova mi, hova mi madie Skateva mi, marhami, pamoa vedeni. Slaver shonach gdinyu asal, edu ochkede kie, paraleum kreperu ater, agluesu narcii. Hova mi, hova mi, hova mi, madie, skateva mi, marha mi, famoa vedeni. Hova mi, hova mi, hova mi, madie, skateva mi, marha mi,
It seems like a lot of people are becoming more aware of what Gaelic musical culture has to offer. And although people are very fond of sort of throwing around the words crossover, everything's going to become crossover, and that's a big leap. Do you feel that we are in a, if not a golden age, but certainly an emergent time for Gaelic music to begin to come into something of the cultural mainstream, if you like, in Scotland at least?
I think so. I think there are a lot of roads, if you like, kind of meeting up, but you know, and in some ways, I think it's a really, really positive thing. In most ways, I think it's a really positive thing. And I think the Gaelic language and poetry and song will continue to develop and change in order for the song tradition and poetry and everything to survive and get stronger. I think there has to be a good basis and grounding and confidence in the language, in the spoken language. It has to be a living language, or else people won't express themselves in song and poetry without that.
To suit
Julie Fowlis live at Perthshire Amber and Blackbird. How to bring your language into the cultural mainstream? Well, you could sing a Beatles song in Gaelic, or more dramatically, you could sing the theme to an Oscar-winning Disney Pixar animation. Julie's singing was featured in Brave. We're going to hear the theme from the movie and find out how it all came about as we continue in the company of Julie Fowlis. Check our playlist online soon at thistleradio.com. And photos of myself and Julie Fowlis on our Thistle Radio Facebook page. This is NPR. Fiona Ritchie's still with you. My guest was brought up on the island of North Uist, and she's taking the Scots Gaelic song of her native Outer Hebrides to audiences all around the world. She's Julie Fowlis.
And just looking at Scotland alone, what do you think it would take to bring Gaelic song more into the cultural mainstream just on home turf?
I think radio play has a lot to do with it. I think the power of radio is still one of the most powerful mediums, radio and television also. And I think it's still a battle to get Gaelic song played on mainstream radio to sit alongside English. And until that happens, I think until the media accept it as a kind of an equal to English, it's always going to be a really tough battle. And so I think programmes like this are so important for spreading the word. And it's something that, you know, belongs to all of us, along with the Scots tradition. And I think the culture that we have in the country should be embraced and shared and celebrated across the board.
Shinya, the ski. The horse, the corn, the mother, the valley, the itchy.
naše mae'r baca nes farnia'r ymysdri sy'n bram yr ôl mi'n llais y ddwr dwi'n iawn fy chi'n o'n i'r un sfai sied i'r gorn dwi'n gwrdd nes ti'n y bewr rhaes i'n yw lawr beth yr gain nes i'n yw i'r un o war neis i es fan chlas i lys mwyn ysgall gyrar ba gwr yn mynd gach niach ac yn enach ti'n egi gyfrar Chanan yn syn y badin dje gyda'r achin y gyntaf iawn Wrth mi cadw soch dy ran y dach i gyn i cwm Eg masio gyrw o tmog rag o'r o'r noch i cars y sgons Gyma ffad y slan i o'r sbai a ni na ddoi Gyda'r rôn am yr ochr awd yn ôl o'n môr Sma'n griach mi mi yn ddor ag siels gyn i'n sbi gyd yn ôl A maddwch chi mi a chi ag ysbodol na mae'n ffordd Yn y cars, dyn y gwbach di eg ac siors Nes paro yn y han y glyn a chan i gwbo môr
Last time I saw you performing live was at Petra Amber, and you've now released an album live from Petra Amber, the Dougie MacLean's festival that you sang at. Tell us a wee bit about that. That must have been kind of fun to share again with people what it is you do live.
Oh, it was great fun. And actually, you know, having done one live album like that, I'd like to do them all like that. It was wonderful. We'd had a really busy tour. We'd been on tour for about 3 weeks. And so we felt very together as a band. And we kind of got up on the stage and it was literally a case of press record. We played the gig and then we all went home. And then it all just got packaged up and made into a CD. And it was just so... We really enjoyed the experience. The theatre that night in Footlochry was lovely. The audience were amazing. The Persian Amber crowd are a very particular type of audience. They're brilliant. They're all, you feel like they're with you right from the off. And I think that made the recording of the album all the more special that it was with them.
When you take your Gaelic song out of Scotland, thinking particularly to the United States... almost everybody who comes to your concerts will be coming to them without a knowledge of Gaelic, and yet there's something about the emotion in the song and in the, as you say, the authentic voice, being so in touch with the roots of the music and its history, that transcends the language barrier. And you find that many Americans will come along to your concerts and just kind of lose themselves in the beauty of the musicality of Gaelic, enjoying you as an authentic voice of that tradition.
Oh, well, I hope so. And one thing I would say is, having toured America now for several years, I could probably count on one hand the amount of nights that people have not come and spoke to me in Gaelic. You know, there has not been at least one person. So I find that... you know, the audiences in the States are so passionate and so enthusiastic, and... perhaps because there is no local politics or stigma or anything attached to it, they're just interested in it as a, you know, for what it is. And almost every night after a show, there will be at least one person, sometimes five, sometimes ten, will come up and will speak to you in Gaelic. Even if it's just a smattering, a handful of words, they will make an effort. And I'm always very humbled by that people would take the time to look into our culture and investigate a bit more and fall a little bit in love with it and learn it, for you know.
Well, think what that means to them as well, if they are either a speaker from such a distance or have picked up some words from their family or even just through their own interest, to be able to come and speak to somebody who brings that to them must be a great joy.
Oh, well, I remember playing actually in New York. We were playing in Manhattan, and there was a mother and daughter who had travelled from the Bronx to come and see us. And we performed the gig, and afterwards, the young girl came up to me with her mum, and she said to me in Gaelic, she said, you know, hello, good evening, how are you? And I spoke to her, and she said, you know, really enjoyed the show. And after a sentence or two, she kind of started to, her Gaelic started to kind of break down, and then eventually she switched to English. And I said, you've done so well, you know, what classes do you go to? And she said, oh, I've been learning online for like for 3 years now. And she went, and you were the first live person I've ever spoken to. And I just thought, I was totally blown away by that, that she would have, you know, been in her house in the Bronx for 3 years doing all these classes and everything online. And then this was this chance to speak to somebody. I just thought that was really precious, you know.
That's fabulous. So I hope you, in your next trip to the States and in all the future ones, you get more of these people coming to see you. So if you speak any Gaelic at all, or would like to, between now and when she comes to your neighbourhood, come out and see Julie Fowlis. Becoming a mum changes how you sing some of these songs, because some of the material really very much comes from the maternal tradition, if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. A great singer from US, Paul McCallum, it's a wonderful singer. I remember him telling me when he saw me when I was pregnant with my first girl, he said, your voice was going to change after this. He said, and if you have another one, it will change again. And he was right. And I feel my voice has changed. But in terms of the songs and passing on these stories, I think, yeah, they resonate far more with you. I mean, the tales of family tragedy and loss and leaving and injustice, I think all these things ring truer. They hit home a lot harder when you're a mum and you're part of a family unit, your own little family unit. And so, the songs become even more real. And I thought they were real before, but they have come, it's kind of gone to a new level now, I suppose.
Yeah, your empathy must come through more and you're more in touch with the emotions of the people who first created some of those songs.
I think so. And I think there's just that, the sense as well of continuation and that, like a family line and passing things on. And all of a sudden I feel in my own family, my oldest is only three, but we're already starting our own family traditions, our little, you know, the things that we do that are particular to us and stories and those little traditions all fit into a much bigger tradition. And so I do feel it's when you have children, everything changes.
I want to talk to you about another girl, unconnected to the two you've mentioned, but I'm sure dear to you in different ways, called Merida. Now, she was the heroine of the Oscar-winning Pixar animation called Brave, and you were her singing voice, if you like. You represented her in song of the film. So I suppose I'd like to know maybe how that came about, but as much as that, I'm really curious about what all that meant to you, that they would want to have a really authentic voice to represent this girl.
Well, it's been a really incredible year and a half, and I was halfway through my pregnancy with my second daughter when we got the phone call from Disney Pixar asking us to, myself and my husband Eamon Dooley, to contribute musically to the film. And so we met up with the producer and the director, and we were introduced to Merida then for the first time, and her family, Queen Eleanor and King Fergus, and the essence of the story. And in fairness to them, they didn't actually give away the whole plot right from the beginning. So so we kind of joined up with them maybe 9 months before the release of the film in the UK. And we just had a ball working with them. And I really, they're so, so passionate. It's just, it's really hard to put into words and to convey the effort and the passion that goes into creating an animation. I think you have to work 10 times harder with animation to show emotion and convey feelings and things. So they were really, really passionate about the whole project, especially the director, Mark Andrews, who's just got that like total obsession with Scotland. And we hit it off as a team, you know, early on, and they were keen that I kind of get inside this character of Merida. And, you know, we talked endlessly on the phone about, you know, the mother-daughter relationship and the dynamics of the mother-daughter relationship, which can be trying at times. And at that time, you know, my oldest was about a year and a half. And I said, you know, she's only one and a half, but I hear you. You know, I get this already. And I really had to get inside the mind of Merida very, very early on. So I feel like I've lived with Merida for a good long time now. I feel like I know her really well. And it was great fun. A big departure for me in the film, of course, to sing in English, which is quite unusual. And of course, working remotely, you know, musicians and producers in California, and then the musical team here in Scotland, working back and forth, endless conference calls at all times of the night. And it was a total whirlwind. And very enjoyable. And we just got the vocals in the can before I delivered my second daughter. So it was great timing.
When the cold wind is calling, secrets and mountains are fierce and bold, deep water. impressions of times lost long ago. I reviewed every story, take hold of my own dream. Be as strong as the seas are stormy, and proud as an eagle's scream. I will ride, I will fly, chase the wind and touch the sky. I will fly, chase the wind and touch the sky.
The premiere in Hollywood of the film, and it was real madness to go. I mean, the girls, the baby was only, I think she was 8 weeks or something, and we just got on a plane and off we went to LA, you know. But it was a once in a lifetime thing, and I'm so glad we did it. And it was only when we were out there that I really appreciated the level. I mean, what Disney Pixar were doing for Scotland as a whole, as Scotland as a brand, you know. Actually, it was just flying the flag for Scotland and showing that it's something, we've got something a little bit different and worth celebrating and worth talking about and worth telling stories about. And I think that's the thing, and it gets people talking.
And the landscapes in the animation were very much based upon genuine landscapes, and I think anybody who's spent any time in the Scottish Highlands will agree that they really captured the qualities of light and the changing weatherscapes. But it was a wonderful project. Our family all loved it, and we loved that you were part of it, and it made the film matter so much more to us that they had taken the trouble to really bring the music into the film properly. And I'm sure there's some wonderful singers they could have got in LA to sing a lovely song, but it was really good that they did it right. So I'm so glad for you that that happened. Maybe it'll lead to some, who knows what else lovely things.
Oh, we never know. But it was certainly something that was unexpected, not on the cards, but it was very welcomed and an enjoyable adventure for the last year and a half.
Well, we wish you many more enjoyable adventures, either, you know, in film and certainly through your musical career. I'm sure you'll be well received and welcomed on your next trips to the States, and good luck with it all. Good luck with your next albums and with your family. And if you do have another wee girl, maybe you'll be calling her Merida.
I don't think so, though, no.
Julie Fowlis, thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Susan. Martin O'Neill on the bowdoin. On the bouzouki, Mr. Eamon Dooley. On the guitar, Mr. Tony Byrne. And the fiddle, Duncan Chisholm.
Fowlis live at Perthshire, and she was my guest this week. Find out more about the music we've played on this week's programme at thistleradio.com, where you can also listen again to recent radio shows. The Thistle and Shamrock is a service mark of Fiona Ritchie. Support for NPR comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. The Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to a vigorous presence for poetry in American culture. poetryfoundation.org. And the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world. On the web at hewlett.org. This is NPR Music.